When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Do what I do, and I expect to have a great year.
I'm ready. You know that I'm number one. There'll never be another one.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN2. You can download the podcast. You say play ESPN, we pop up on your smart speakers. Harry Douglas doing the work of two men today. You're in for Keyshawn and J. Will because I'm Max. I'm already here, man. So you got to wear two hats
Harry
today.
Harry and Max. It has a nice little ring to
That's
it.
I got my brother named Harry. One of my brothers named Harry.
Look at that.
All right, brother. Look, first of all, I want everyone to know what a hero I am, Harry. I have a detached retina.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I came to work anyway. I want full credit. No one's there's a ghost town around here. It's summer.
You're going to get it from me.
Yes, full credit from Harry, a true worker, a champion. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. So, what do you think of the draft? Before we even get into it seemed to me that what was reported versus what wound up happening, that was like a genuine surprise draft.
It was, and then you've seen the reactions from Jabari Smith because he thought he was going to go number one. So, you've seen like the... and his mom just, hey, trust God, you know?
And that, you're going to have that forever. You're the number one overall pick forever. Forever. But maybe Vegas knows something, you know, like it's the wisdom of crowds because they had Banchero as the number one overall and a lot, not just like one or two guys. A lot of guys are like, I don't know why Vegas thinks that because what we're hearing is Jabari Smith. But Vegas had it right initially.
But Banchero is the most pro-ready right now. You look at his body type, the way he dribbles the basketball, getting to his shot. 6'10", guy that you can put in the pick and roll, and he's not going to be the guy that's setting the pick. That says something a lot about his skill set, his outside shooting. Now, he does need to work on his defense and get better defensively because if not, he's going to get exploited in this league.
It is time for the Progressive NBA snapshot. I'll tell you what. You say that Banchero is the most pro-ready. As a guy who can make stuff happen with higher-end stuff, I get it. The thing about Jabari Smith, and probably they were right, but he, to me, has the highest floor. He's 6'10". He can shoot the three. He can shoot the lights out, pure shot, and defend. But I guess teams look at that and go, okay, so we know the floor is a high-level 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. With the number one pick, we want more. We want to dream a little bigger. But Banchero, if you're going to go that way, Banchero over Holmgren, I guess... Is Banchero, do you think, more of a sure thing? We're looking at the Rookie of the Year odds, Caesars Sportsbook. They had Banchero almost twice as likely to go first as Jabari Smith. Mm-hmm. They were right. And what everyone was hearing was wrong, and Vegas was right. But do you think if you're going to go for upside, mm-hmm. you take Banchero over Chet Holmgren, or do you think that's kind of a mix of both? We know he can only be like he's going to work out at least at a certain level, plus we got the upside.
Well, if I'm looking at it, I'm looking at my roster, first of all. What fits best with our roster? You look at the Orlando Magic roster, they have those long guys like Chet Holmgren. Do they have a guy exactly like him? No. You got to remember, they have a Jonathan Isaac that's going to be coming back who's missed the last 2 years. They have a Mo Bamba. I don't know what they're going to do with him, though. They have a Wagner. So do you really want a Chet Holmgren when you have guys similar, I won't say body types, but size-wise. But Banchero brings something different.
You need a spark to light that fire that they got all
because,
the kindling wood there.
They have the guys there.
Yeah. All right, so if he were, a lot of has been made of this, but when you look at the Magic number one overall pick, the Orlando Magic, throughout their history, in 92 they drafted Shaq. And here's the thing about Shaq. This is slight hyperbole, but kind of from year one, he was the second best player in the world. Like, as soon as he turned pro, okay, Olajuwon was better than him, I get it. Jordan was better. I remember his first All-Star game. Mm-hmm. The Western Conference was like, we are not going to let him win All-Star MVP. So they quintuple-teamed him on every play. It was five. MJ wound up getting MVP because they weren't going to let Shaq get it, but it took five of them to stop him.
Well, he was a different animal. And that's back when Shaq, before a lot of these young kids even seen basketball in the 90s, when Shaq was breaking down backboards and taking down goals.
Shaq could take you coast to coast.
Oh, yes.
When Shaq looks at Antetokounmpo, he's like, man, I could have played like, if they would have let me, I could have played like that. He's right.
But he got dead in by Hakeem Olajuwon in that finals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Hakeem by that point was on some other.
The footwork, the little shimmy.
Yeah.
Hakeem was on another level.
They got swept. Listen. When Jordan retired, it was parallel universe time, as my late great brother Sam used to say. All right, if there's no Jordan, who's the best player in Hakeem?
Yeah.
Hakeem was the best non-Jordan.
Hands down, okay. Too.
But Shaq was incredible, one of the 10 greatest players who ever lived. Chris Webber in 93. Now, they didn't keep him. They traded him to Golden State for Penny plus multiple first-round picks. And Penny and Shaq was, you know, that got him to the finals. So people don't know now, Penny, early in his career, I'm not saying he was a top five player in the league. I'm saying he's one of the top five guys you would want on your team.
He was a baller, man.
He was a superstar.
You remember Lil Penny? Man, what's Lil Penny on playing the piano? Penny Hardaway's shoes.
That's Tyra Banks, fool.
Yeah, he had Penny shoes, man.
He had commercials and everything because you could see what was coming.
Yeah.
He was a different kind of player, Penny. Now, kids nowadays don't remember him because he didn't have the career because of injury that he may have otherwise had.
But that was a great trade for the Orlando Magic. Even though Chris Webber panned out to be a Hall of Famer and
Shaq
was only
Jr.
at Golden State for 1 year and then he left.
That's right. But and also you bring up like the Magic now. They have all this stuff. Now they need some. Well, they had Shaq already in Orlando, mm-hmm. and Chris Webber was like a power forward type Shaq. He could do a lot of things, but put up similar numbers at least. All right, Dwight Howard was the next number one overall pick the Magic had, and he was not just a three-time defensive player of the year. He was all NBA for a long time. He was top five player in the NBA for years and years and years. Just because you had Dwight and shooters, you got to a finals, right? And that's the thing. All three of these number one picks, Webber turning into Penny, got to an NBA Finals.
That's right.
What happens if Paolo Banchero turns into that kind of star? What do you think? Like, when you look at what the Magic are doing,
yep.
What do you think the plan is, should be?
I'll say I have three things, Max. The first thing is that young core that they do have. You look at the Jalen Suggs, you look at the Cole Anthony, Banchero, Isaac, all those guys, they have to understand it's go time now. Number two, Jamal Mosley, their head coach, he's going into his second year. He has to figure out how to push those buttons and get those guys and everything to work in unison so they could thrive. The third thing, front office, general manager John Hammond, he has to take a page out of the Cleveland Cavaliers in a Phoenix Suns book because those two teams have drafted well of late. But what did they do, Max? They sprinkled in some veterans, some guys that can play. You look at a guy like Chris Paul when it comes to the Phoenix Suns. He made a difference on that team. But when you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, you have a Jared Allen, a Caris LeVert they added this past year, a marketing. They have those guys to help spark their young core as well. So when I look at John Hammond, he has to bring in solid veterans to get these young guys going because I think they underestimate the need for vets, especially vets that can play the game at a high level.
Bingo. See, to me, that's what it is, Harry. It's not just let's get a lot of young players, and then we'll also have a veteran guy. But can the vet ball?
That's right.
Because he's not going to have the
same
respect
that he can
ball. Right?
Exactly. They got to respect him because if the young core don't respect you, which nowadays it's a little tougher to get the respect from the young guys than it was back in the days.
Makes no difference. And all that. You know who I think of? C.J. McCollum. You look at the Pelicans. It's not just that they're like, I understand they're not all draft picks. They made deals, but there's the same kind of generation of players coming up together, drafted around the same time, even if it's not always by New Orleans. Okay, what do we need here? We have Zion. We don't think he's getting the most out of his potential. You go get a C.J. McCollum, and I remember a lot of pundits, why are they getting C.J.? It doesn't make a lot of sense. It made perfect sense to me because he is the vet that you're talking about. Yep. Not only the president of the Players Association, right? So he knows what he's doing, but he can ball.
That's another team, though. You look at the draft pick they got last night and Dyson Daniels. Now you know you're going to get Zion back. You have C.J. McCollum. You had a Valanciunas that you brought over. You have a Brandon Ingram.
Traded.
Exactly. You have that young rapport and that young core with a sprinkle of those vets. And we've seen what they did this year. Willie Green, I'm looking for big things from New Orleans Pelicans in the Western Conference next year.
Small market teams, it seems to me the formula is, if you eventually draft a star or a superstar, but it's not working out and they're going to bounce anyway, then it pays to be bad that year, get a high draft pick, and then trade the superstar for a gang of players. That's what the Pelicans did. Yes. Not only did they have Zion coming in and AD going out, but for AD, they took everything the Lakers had.
Yep.
You guys can keep Kuzma. We're going to take Ingram. Right? That's the Progressive NBA snapshot brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What? By the way, how do you like Ivy going to Detroit?
Ooh, and he wanted to go there.
He wanted to go to Detroit, and
Mom played there. Grandfather played for the Lions. He wanted to be in Detroit. Perfect situation for him.
That's got to be why Sacramento passed on him, right? And now he's going. Is he a point guard or not? He doesn't have to be now.
But I tell you, Sacramento passed on him because they drafted Davion Mitchell the year before.
Yeah.
And then they have...
Yeah, right.
Sacramento passed on him because the Kings have no idea how to do the NBA draft. They're like the Jets. They're like the New York Jets of the NBA draft. They posted this on ESPN on the broadcast last night. The Knicks took Marvin Bagley in 2018, second overall.
Oh, yes.
Luka went third. They took...
Kings, you mean, yeah.
The Kings, sorry. They took Robinson fifth overall in 2012. Damian Lillard went sixth. Yeah. They took Jimmer Fredette, 10th overall in 2011. Klay Thompson went with the next pick.
So
Jaden Ivey is going to be a superstar just based on that alone.
Well, I know, but you have De'Aaron Fox and you have Davion Mitchell. I think they needed a guy like Keegan Murray.
Aaron, don't overthink this. They did it because they're the Kings. They have no idea what they're doing.
GM
terrible.
Of the Portland Trail Blazers calls Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Says, Bobby, who should I draft in this upcoming draft? Bobby Knight said Michael Jordan. They said, yeah, but we already got Clyde Drexler. We need a center. Bobby Knight said, draft Jordan, play him at center. Just take the best player. Get them when you got a superstar. Him and Cade Cunningham in Detroit. What do your home and auto have in common? They're both yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at progressive.com. So, like, look, we talk about the upside of Paolo Banchero. Then there's the upside of a football prospect we've been talking about since he was in the seventh grade. And the name of royalty in the NFL.
It
That's next.
Weight.
Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay, doing the job of two men. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, and ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
So I just got to say, Ryan Clark, this dude, he spits hot fire. Ryan Clark's podcast, The Pivot Podcast, making waves like every day.
Must watch, must see.
Every day, it's breaking news because he is an interested listener, right? Not only does he get important guests, but he gets them to say stuff because he is genuinely, very smart guy, obviously, and genuinely curious. But listen to this. Garrett Wilson is the Jets wide receiver. Evan, are you happy with that pick?
Love it.
Love it. Loves the Garrett Wilson pick. Wait, who is that? Pat? Is that Pat on the board today?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, of course it is. Okay. Garrett Wilson, Ryan Clark, boy, set him up on having to pay for the rookie dinner. Listen, HD, listen to this.
They did tell me about the dinner. I got to take all the receivers to a dinner. That's going to be cool. I'm excited for that. It's not going to be cool. You know they're going to run that bill up, like $75,000? Oh, yeah. You mean like the Louis the 13th you're going to have to buy at the restaurant? They ain't doing me for $75,000. I ain't going to fake it.
It's the rookie dinner. It's all of y'all.
You the 10th pick of the draft, too. They know you got 20 guaranteed.
Wait, what you say rookie dinner is?
He thinks it's his decision.
That was so cute. It was so cute.
Hey, listen.
Yo, why they got to do them? They're setting them up.
Oh, the way they laughed at him. It's like he really thought it was his decision.
He needed that extra anxiety going into it. Harry, what's the most you've seen spent at a rookie? Listen, they're not going to bang him out for 75,
no,
right?
No way. No,
but that's RC getting them. What's the most you've seen spent at a rookie dinner? Now, and also, by the way, this is years ago already,
and
so maybe there's inflation. Right, yeah.
I was a rookie, too. I'll say my rookie year, we play in Arizona. The entire offense goes to Cheesecake Factory. So I'm like, why is everybody getting up looking at cheesecake? Let me go get up and look at cheesecake. Roddy White tells me, sit your ass down.
Yeah, right.
No, sit down. You're paying for a whole. I was like, whoa.
I'm
worried about my card declining.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't have these type of cards yet because I'm a rookie.
Yeah, a third round pick. You didn't get the 20 guaranteed out of college.
It was a lot of money, but they didn't knock me over the head. But I will say, if I had some first round draft picks, wide receiver wise in the rookie room, the dinner wasn't bad, but we may have went to get some lemon pepper loos at a certain establishment.
I see.
So some money's, so a lot of money has.
So what's the biggest bill you've seen run up on a rookie?
Probably about 30K.
30 G's?
Yep. Whew. About 30K.
That's some dues paying right there.
That's top five money, though.
Yeah. Oh,
top five.
I see.
That's
top
five. Top
five, you bang them out for 30.
The old top five.
Oh, they may be 75 by now, Harry. All right. We got much more coming up in a matter of moments. And in fact, in exactly 10 seconds from now.
Arch Manning has made a decision. He went to social media and announced his commitment to Texas.
Texas is not back right now, but this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Kirk Herbstreit ESPN college football analyst, of course, on the 6 p.m. Sports Center, talking about, I would say, the most watched prospect. Can you remember a prospect that's been watched since the seventh grade like this guy, Harry? Since the seventh grade?
No, not since seventh grade.
This might be the most watched prospect ever.
That
here is Kirk Herbstreit. This prospect signed with Texas now. Are the Longhorns back?
I'm not one of these to say anybody's back. Texas is not back right now. I think their real fans would tell you that. But this is definitely a step in the right direction and a recruiting coup, not only to get the quarterback, but eventually watch the other dominoes fall behind him because of getting such a big-time recruit and a quarterback who's a distributor in that offense that Mac Jones and Tua and others have played in over the years.
All right. We are talking, of course, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, about Arch Manning. And of course, you know what I resent about this, Harry? It's too perfect. Wait, so he's not Peyton or Eli's kid. He's the one who didn't play his kid. He's Cooper's kid, of course, right?
Who got hurt?
And he's going to be the best out of all of them because Cooper wasn't in a position. So he's good. How good is Arch Manning?
He's good, man. He's good. When you talk about the number one prospect in 2023, a guy who has drawn attention from a LSU, a Alabama, a Texas, a Clemson, that says a lot. And all those fan bases, I'm looking at Twitter yesterday, and all those fan bases are in disarray because he committed to Texas. But I'll tell you what this actually did do. For a guy like Steve Sarkisian, he struggled in year one at Texas, right? He used two quarterbacks in Hudson Carter and Casey Thompson. It didn't work out. That whole ordeal, there was chatter about in year one, is Steve Sarkisian the guy? Should we start looking for someone else? Which is bizarre and crazy in my eyes because it is year one. But when you look at a guy like Steve Sarkisian in the offense, that is a pro-style offense. Got to remember, he was the OC in Atlanta for a year. He was the OC or the quarterback coach,
I think. SC with Pete Carroll, that whole thing, man. They love him. There's a lot of love for Sark in a lot of different spots.
And that's why when you look at that offense, you look at guys and receivers that play in it, it translates to the NFL. Mm. Now you have Arch Manning coming. Now recruiting-wise, as a coaching staff, as a recruiting coordinator, you can, I won't say take your feet off the gas a little bit, but Arch Manning is going to do the recruiting for you by committing to Texas.
Wonder what the NIL.
Now you're going to see the dominoes. The NIL.
How much?
But let me tell you why
Arch
it has to be crazy.
Manning?
Let me tell you why it has to be crazy. Huh. Bijan Robinson, their star running back, right?
Yeah.
He has a deal, I believe it's with Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. If he has a deal with Lamborghini, think about the NIL money that Arch Manning is getting and the products that he's
getting. What's higher than Lamborghini? Marquee what is it, Bugatti?
Sign him up for Marquee Jet. He's going to have his own private jet in college.
That's right. But here's the thing, and it's crazy because you say, well, a lot of it is like what Key would say, it's branding, right? It's all the yeast that the media puts on it. Here, I'll be Key. I'm sitting in a spot right now. It's all the yeast that I could do. Like, I already know the algorithms of his brain. He has an allergic reaction
but
to
Max,
this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Max. Right.
But is he really different, though? See, I think different. When I look at it, I see the same thing. All these top guys. We have to wait and see, little by little. So I get it. But from that point of view.
I'll tell you the difference, though.
Huh?
When you look at a guy like Arch Manning, who's uncles are Eli and Peyton.
Yep.
He's coming up. He's going through things different. And grandfather is Archie Manning. He's going through things differently than those guys have done. Think about how the game has transcended since those two have even played. So they're teaching him one-on-one things from two different quarterback perspectives. And you add the grandfather, three quarterback perspectives.
It's crazy. And by the way, this is another thing that's too pat about this whole story. I'm not even sure Arch Manning exists. Let me tell you something. Wait, you mean to tell me Cooper's kid, who's basically named after the grandfather, he winds up? But here's the thing about the reason I brought up the Key stuff, how and the branding, and how he kind of has an allergic reaction to that because he just wants to evaluate the player mm-hmm. and not let all the extra media stuff that he calls yeast on, like not let it affect him. But I remember the Eli Manning draft, Philip Rivers. Coming out, you can see he's better than Eli, right?
Yep.
But the Giants traded up. They gave up the picks that wound up being Nate Kading and Sean Merriman, who were both excellent at what they did, just about as good as it got, in order to get Eli, number one overall. And if you look at their careers, Philip Rivers put up better numbers, you know, more accurate, the whole thing. More touchdowns, fewer interceptions, better one-loss record. I wouldn't undo that deal. I want Eli Manning. He brought two Super Bowls to the Giants. Well, did
against
he really?
Against the GOAT.
Right, against the GOAT. Well, did he really? It was this, it was that, it was a defense. He rolled the defense. Eli Manning
made the plays when they needed to.
Let me tell you something. Nate Silver at 538 did a thing where he was trying to find out who is the most clutch postseason quarterback who ever lived, right? In other words, how much did his level in the playoffs rise from his level in the regular season? So he does this whole formula, and he comes out with Eli Manning, and but there were too many other guys who you really wouldn't think of like that on the list. He's like, I got to change my methodology, right? Like, I got to, because Eli was also twice as clutch as anyone else. When he redid the list, Joe Montana was second, and it was more like the list you'd expect. Eli was still first. He was the most clutch quarterback in the history of the playoffs compared to his baseline of the regular season. He played. Think about who he beat on the road in those two Super Bowls. On the road the whole time, killing the greatest quarterback, beating Aaron Rodgers,
going
Brett Favre,
Lambeau.
At Lambeau, both of them. So would I undo that? No. And Harry, we all know the only reason they took Eli was because his last name was Manning. If Philip Rivers was Philip Manning, they'd have stayed with Philip Rivers, right? But that pedigree and that last name, it turned out to mean something. It actually meant something. Is that because of what you said? Because it's such a football family, because of Archie and Peyton, that these guys just know things that other quarterbacks don't?
They do, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because for no reason, don't think that Eli, Arch, and Peyton won't have their hands in a lot of things that Texas do when Arch Manning is there.
Ooh.
So we talked about at the start of the conversation that Arch Manning has been, like, talked about and basically recruited since seventh grade.
Yeah.
And so Pat and I were talking, like, Pat said this is like Zion, like that level of hype.
Yeah.
I think it's LeBron. Mm-hmm. Is Arch Manning
or Kareem.
Is Arch Manning LeBron or Zion, like, in terms of the hype in high school?
Zion.
I would go, oh man, that's a tough one.
I mean, like, we act like, listen.
Like, I think it's going to be LeBron. Like I think Arch Manning is going to be on Sports Illustrated before, like, next week.
But you know what,
like,
the difference is,
before he's
Evan,
even in college.
It's the family name.
I hear what you're saying about LeBron, right? And I would agree with that, but LeBron was billed before anyone saw him play in high school. He was being billed as Magic Johnson meets Michael Jordan, right? This guy has a chance to be the greatest player ever. I have not heard that about Arch Manning.
Yeah.
In terms of the level of scrutiny from an early age, maybe. But I don't think it comes attached. I don't think Arch Manning is supposed to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
And he's not the physical specimen that LeBron was.
Yeah, maybe he is.
Coming up.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, maybe he's supposed to be in that conversation by the time all is said and done.
He definitely better be the best Manning quarterback.
Oh, my ex
better be the best Manning
live
think
in
about
Texas.
That. Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl MVP. Archie Manning, one of the best quarterbacks. Peyton Manning, when he and Tom Brady were both in their primes, the reality is, I mean, I would have taken Tom Brady. A lot of people would have. But it was kind of like he gave us a feeling that he was a winner and he had Belichick. Just eyeballs on them. Peyton Manning was considered the best player in football. Arch is supposed to, well, he's better than all those guys.
He got some pressure on him now.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We're getting closer and closer, are we? To Kyrie leaving KD, leaving the Nets? Are we actually?
Uh-oh.
Harry gives you the answers. Next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now that music, what could that music mean? Let me try and think. Is Alan Yates on the board? So no, it wouldn't be Alan Yates.
Definitely wouldn't have been the
no,
Yates.
No, it's not Yates.
Not at all.
That is 100% James
Steele.
James Steele. It's even a little, it's even like a rocker name, right? James Steele.
So I told James one day, I said, you look like someone who just drinks whiskey on a daily.
Well, actually, this is somewhat.
There's a reason
where is
for
he?
That.
Yeah, right. So, wait, Evan, you got to explain to me what's going on in the Steele household right now.
Yeah, so James is off today. He's home with his three children. Ooh. For the first time since his son Oscar, his youngest, the three-year-old, was born. He's home with all three of them at the same time without his wife. And so we're just going to check in and see how he's doing. And so if you're watching on ESPN2, you can follow along. If you're listening on the radio, you'll hear James and his daughter, Joanna, the oldest. She's 7.
Oh,
and
Joanna.
We're going to find out how everybody's doing.
Oh, he has four. He has the dog as well.
James.
Yeah, the dog's here too. Yeah.
James, so somehow because of the pandemic and whatever else, you have never been. Your eldest, Joanna, there she is. We remember Joanna. She's appeared before. Hey, Joanna, how are you?
Good.
Good? Now, Joanna, it's one thing for a single dad to have one child with them, right? But when a dad in particular, not a mom, moms can take care of a million children, but when a dad has three with them, James, this is the first time for you?
Yeah, so whenever we had the second, Lisa would be in. We would go to work in the morning, so I'd have both of them like during the day. Mm-hmm. They would be here with me. But Oscar was born. He's the youngest. He was born in like 2019. She took like 3 or 4 months off afterwards, and then we were rotating in babysitters. So I really mm-hmm. didn't do a whole lot of time with three by myself, and definitely not overnight. So we're gonna do like 2 overnights and another half of a day, and we'll see what happens.
That's trouble.
I gotta ask him this.
It's a little overwhelmed. Yeah, I'm a little over. Nothing like she just left like maybe a half hour ago.
It's a half hour. Already. It's so, like he's got to rebuild civilization now.
Is Sydney and Oscar? So that's why I was going to ask you: Are Sydney and Oscar up? Because it is entirely too quiet in the house right now. I have two kids that are 6 and 2, so I know what it's like, James. I know what it's like.
Oh. Oscar,
say hi.
What's up, Oscar?
very calm.
Mild-mannered right and relaxed and chilled.
It just woke up. These two just woke up. Sydney is still early sleeping, still, so everything's fine right now. Yeah.
Now, the best thing you can do
6:30, so.
For your kids, James, is just give them what they want. That's what dads do, right? Especially when we're watching over the kids. Yeah. I get in trouble all the time with my wife because when my kids are with me, they get what they want. Yeah, hey, you want candy in the morning, they get candy. They want Kool-Aid in the morning, they get Kool-Aid.
There is a comedian who will remain nameless who talks about that, how, you know, you give your kids chocolate cake in the morning. Because when the kid comes down, they go, I want chocolate cake. The recipe book opens up. Wait, flour, eggs, milk? It's great. Here's chocolate. Hey, Joanna, I have a question for you, okay? How fast can daddy change a diaper compared to how fast mommy can change a diaper? Does daddy, when he changes a diaper, does it look the same as when mommy changes? Does mama do it much, much faster and better?
He's slower.
Right? That's the thing, because you wind up with less practice. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, can you just do it? Because it's going to take me a half an hour, but it could take you 1 second, right?
Another thing I got fussed at about, are you taking so long to change the diaper? I'm like, hey.
Not as practice. But you know what?
You can't avoid the boo-boo ones either today. Sorry, James.
No. But you know
you
what?
Avoid the boo-boo ones.
No, it's not over. Yeah.
Joanna, I have some advice.
Can't pass those off.
I have some advice for your dad for a second. James? Enjoy every diaper you change because I miss it, man. Oh, do I miss it? I know that makes me weird, Joanna, but I miss changing their diapers. I do. It's a bonding experience. What do you think? Is that gross?
What do you think about that? Great radio.
Yes, terrific. All right, James, thank you very much. Good luck.
Hopefully things are good, as good now. Later on.
Listen, if it turns into a zoo over there, can you please just let Evan know? Because I'd like to check in then. It'd be much more interesting when Oscar's swinging from that chandelier in the background.
This is the last one I have. Joanna, when your hair has to get done, is daddy doing your hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see my hair?
Okay. That's what I was getting to.
What are you talking about? All right. Okay, good.
Dad puts the conditioner and the tangle spray in there and everything and gets all the knots out.
And that's just my hair.
And that's his hair. Thank you, James. James needs to get in the zone this weekend. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone.
Kyrie Irving has furnished a list of potential teams for the Nets to consider working on sign-and-trade agreements. Among those teams, the Lakers, Clippers, Nets, Knicks, Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, and the Sixers.
You know, we wanted to check in with James because we figured it'd be a zoo by there. It'd be good radio, you know, like with three kids running all over the place. But the good news is if anyone was listening to that segment just then and their kids were like a little wild as soon as they could just play that segment. The kid go right back to sleep. Everything would work out. You know what I mean?
It doesn't work like that.
It was very calm in James's household.
It was entirely too calm in
Still
James'
early,
household.
Right?
My household is nothing like that.
No.
From the moment my kids wake up, especially my six-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
She is on 1,000 from the moment she wakes up.
Oof. All right. The latest from Kyrie, from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. You ready for this one?
Talk to me.
Harry Douglas in for Key and for Jay today. If Kyrie Irving cannot reach an agreement to stay with Brooklyn, in other words, if Brooklyn's not like, all right, we'll stop playing games, we'll just guarantee you all 4 years. He has a list of teams he'd like them to consider on sign and trades. The list includes the Los Angeles Lakers, the San Diego Clippers. Oh, no, I guess I'm supposed to call them the L.A. Clippers. Come on, get out of here.
Max, you're something else.
Let's be honest, the Clippers. The Knicks, the Heat, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Sixers. By the way, none of those teams have cap space to sign them without the Nets' help. And would the Nets help them basically send KD out of town, right? You got to figure if Brooklyn botches it to the point where Kyrie is gone, how long before KD is like, come on, man, I'm out of here. So, well, he's under contract. Oh, shut up, nerds. If a guy wants to leave, there's nothing you can do. Well, he signed a four-year day. If a guy don't want to play there, you're going to get rid of
him. That's been proven. James Harden, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. Even look what's just happened in Sacramento. Jaden Ivey's on Detroit right now. He hadn't even played an NBA game. He got to exactly where he wanted to go. Is it possible, Harry, that he would really wind up on one of those other teams and the Nets would help? Is this just Kyrie and his agent trying to create some leverage here?
I think it is. When I look at it from the standpoint, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, right, and you're not going to give them that long-term deal, why let him walk for nothing if you can get something back for him as well? But at the same time, you're wondering, is Kevin Durant going to want to stay? Because that's the big chess piece in this whole ordeal. If we don't give Kyrie Irving this contract, Is Kevin Durant going to be disgruntled? Is he going to want to leave as well? So when I look at this and I look at the Lakers, right, and for it to work out, he would essentially have to play for, what, $6 million?
Yeah, mid-level exception.
I don't even know how that's going to be acceptable for Kyrie if he doesn't, if he wants a long-term deal.
Let's think about this logically. Why would Kyrie tell the Nets, yeah, the $30-plus million a year you want to give me the first 2 years – is because you won't guarantee the second 2 years, you imagine, unless I play, Bobby Marks mentioned 67 games, because that's 80% of the games, yep. Right? Give or take. Unless I play 80% of the games, that I'm so mad that you won't guarantee all whatever $200 million, that whatever it is, that I'm going to take $6 million somewhere else. Of course he's not going to do that.
Like, that's insane.
Of course he's not going to do that.
When I look at the Clippers, and I know a reason why he put that team on the list is because Ty Lue. And his relationship with Ty Lue from being in Cleveland. But I'm thinking about, if you're the Clippers, who would do number one, do you want that? Number two,
yep,
who would you swap out? Because the Clippers right now have the best roster in the NBA.
I agree, and the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah,
or certainly one of the two or three.
So do you even want to play with that?
Well, let's put it this way. As great as Paul George is as a two-way player, he's hitting the side of the backboard in the playoffs. Like, Paul George is one of those dudes in the playoffs who does not play like his normal self.
Don't make me laugh.
But come on, let's be honest.
He hit the side of the what?
Side of the backboard. Come on, you saw it.
I know.
So in the playoffs, in a win-or-go-home game. So at home, by the way. So, like, if Paul George was at least his normal self under pressure in the playoffs, mm-hmm, okay, but he's not. Now, let me tell you someone who, in the moment of truth, you trust, Kyrie Irving. Whatever you want to say about Kyrie, I've said plenty. Not only is he maybe the most skillful player ever, he is a big shot maker. Kyrie is a big shot maker.
And a bucket getter.
A bucket getter and a big shot maker.
When he wants to get it.
So you put him on that Clippers team, especially if you somehow hold on to Paul George and Kawhi and they're healthy.
I don't know how you can hold on to both of those guys if you're bringing Kyrie. Because if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm requesting one of them.
Yeah.
I'm requesting one of them. If
maybe you're requesting, but you might not be getting.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not making a deal.
So, okay, that's the Clippers. And plus, the Clippers have never been to a conference finals ever in their entire history.
Yep.
What's that?
The Knicks.
They went to the conference final last year.
Who?
The Clippers.
Were they in the conference?
The Suns.
Was that not the second round? I can't even picture them in the conference finals. That's how long it's been. But okay.
Let's get to the Knicks.
That's the Clippers. Let's go to the Lakers for a second.
Go to the Lakers?
If another reason you can't play for the Clippers, if you play in Los Angeles and you are Kyrie Irving and you idolized Kobe Bryant, you can't not play for the Lakers. You cannot play. The Clippers, they say they play in Los Angeles. If you ask people in L.A., they won't tell you they play. Let's get out of here with the Clippers. The Lakers, you must play for the Lakers, especially if you are marquee, if you are Kyrie Irving. Of course you want to take the mantle from Kobe. And think about this. LeBron James is 114 years old. He's got to give the keys to the franchise to someone. It's not going to be Anthony Davis. He's brittle. He's not a ball, a primary ball handler anyway.
Well, you can't count on him to stay healthy.
Here's the keys, Kyrie, to the Los Angeles Lakers. In the meantime, you play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. How's the fit of those three? That works. LeBron, Kyrie, and AD. The Lakers make a lot of sense. But for the $6 million exception?
I don't see that happening.
Okay.
Not for $6
million. Let's get to the New York Knicks. Your brother was drafted and played for the Knicks, Harry?
2009. First round.
Bing bong. Tough defender.
I think it was 9 threes in one game, too.
Could shoot from the outside.
Yep. St. Paddy's Day game, I believe it was.
Kyrie Irving to the Knicks. Why would Kyrie want to play for the New York Knicks?
Well, first of all, why would Kyrie want to play for Tibbs if you don't want to play for Kenny Atkinson? That's the first question people need to ask, because Tibbs is a harder coach in my eyes than Kenny Atkinson. He is going to demand that you practice. He's going to demand that you play. He's going to demand that you play defense. So why would Kyrie Irving want to do that?
Let me ask you a bigger question about, let's just point out about how laughable the Knicks are. The whole point of the Knicks is to become a desirable destination, is to create the kind of culture that is a magnet. Now, what do players want? Players want to win,
yep,
right? Has Tibbs ever won a championship as a head coach?
No.
He will get you to be respectable. He'll get the defense, the guys that play hard on
defense. You're going to have a tough team.
You're going to have a tough-nosed team. You're going to be bouncing the second round partly because –
bounce the second round.
Partly because – if you're lucky, partly because they're burnt by the time the playoffs roll around. Yes. So, yes, you want to win, but you also want to be in the kind of culture in which you want to play. And, yes, both are possible. You can play in a culture that you want – the Miami Heat are hard-nosed, and they can burn guys out, but you ain't going to stop in the second round, right? No. Not Pat Riley. Okay. Why would he want to play for a team that's thinking we need to become the kind of place that draw? And they not just hire Tibbs, they double down on Thibodeau.
He's our guy.
He's our guy. What? Kyrie Irving going to want to play there?
I don't see it. Even though Madison Square Garden is the mecca, the most famous arena when it comes to basketball. You think about basketball, it's hard not to think about Madison Square Garden. Like you said, my brother played there, so yeah. I spent a lot of time there. I went there with Alan Hahn this year when they played the Chicago Bulls, and the Knicks were having a losing season or weren't playing up to their standards. The place was still packed out, and they happened to beat the Chicago Bulls at the time. Alec Burks went off, went hitting threes after threes after threes. But I just don't see Kyrie Irving in a Knicks uniform.
Kyrie Irving's not going to no Knicks. Let me tell you something. Since the Patrick Ewing era ended, you know why the Garden is packed? You go to the Garden because star players come through from other teams because they have to play the Knicks and you get to see the best players in the NBA because you're an NBA team.
And they seem to have their best performances when they go
at Madison Square Garden. By the way, I was as a kid would stand on a line around the block in the middle of the night. I break day for Knicks playoff tickets. Because if you didn't have season tickets, you had to break just to get nosebleed tickets. I was an insane Knicks fan as a kid, right? But that's the truth of the matter. Madison Square Garden's known most for being called the Mecca. The Mecca of what? Who was left? They don't even have a competitor. What, are they joking? Kyrie is going to want to go play in that dysfunction? So let's knock the Knicks off the list. Knock the Clippers off the list, even though $6 million mid-level is unlikely for the Lakers. I'm going to knock the Lakers off the list.
Yeah.
There's got to be a strong draw for Kyrie. But let me ask you this. If you're Kyrie and your guy, Kevin Durant, is your leverage with the organization, he stuck his neck out for you and all that, are you leaving him when you haven't finished the job with him? Not only now everyone's saying, oh, look, Steph could win a championship without KD. Can KD do without Steph? Now you're going to go back to his chief rival in this era, LeBron James, and people are going to say, I don't know, Kyrie won a chip with LeBron, couldn't get it done with KD, couldn't win a chip with Kyrie, why could LeBron? And then he goes back to LeBron. Do you see that happening?
Man, that would be hurtful. It would be hurtful because Kevin Durant so far in this entire situation has had Kyrie Irving's back 100%. And he went out there and stuck his neck on the line for the team, for Kyrie, when he wasn't injured and was able to play. Now, Kyrie didn't get the vaccination. I'm not going to get into, you know, what people believe in and what that whole ordeal. Do I think he should have got the vaccination? Yes, but that's his decision. That's what he made. And at the same time, I thought it hurt the team because they couldn't build that chemistry. So when they got to playoff time, you've seen a lot of disarray. You've seen a lot of guys trying to gel together, and that's the wrong time. And then you run into a Boston Celtics team who defensively was the best in the league, and now it looks like you're discombobulated out there on the court offensively because all y'all are doing is going one-on-one. I don't see how Kyrie Irving can convince Kevin Durant to come to the Brooklyn Nets, but then not stay with him and ride it out and try to win a championship with Kevin Durant with the Brooklyn Nets. Knowing all the stuff that Kevin Durant has been through for making that decision to leave the Golden State Warriors and pair up with him, if that happens, I don't know how Kevin Durant can forgive him for that.
Dallas Mavericks with Luka would be interesting. Be interesting.
No, but I don't think that'll work because we know Luka Doncic is the man and is going to be the
Dallas. But you know what, though?
But he needs another star.
And Kyrie has a very high basketball IQ, right? So, like, he saw James Harden. He's like, you're the point guard, right? Harden makes better decisions with the ball, and Kyrie is more dynamic playmaker, in fact. Like, yeah. Kyrie shot better than Harden. He has, you know, better handles than Harden, better layup package than Harden. He's just better. But Harden was the better player because of his decision-making, his wisdom, right? And Luka, too. Kyrie, you know, game-recognized game, might look, you know what? Offense is better run through him, and now I can play off ball and just – because he's really a two-guard in a point guard's body, right? That might work, actually.
Because he can score at will.
At will. That might actually work, but is he really going to wind up in Dallas for not a max contract? It looks like to me, Harry, that both sides have some leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie because the Brooklyn Nets, you got KD and Kyrie. Like, okay, let's start with this. It's a, when you look at the Nets on paper, Simmons is due to play, right? Ben Simmons, forget about the fact that he can't shoot. He's the worst shooter in the history of basketball. At everything else, he's basically the best who ever did it at his size. Yep. Look at his handles. Look at his defense.
And you don't need him to score.
You don't.
If you have those two on the court.
Look at his playmaking ability. I mean, he has set up more looks, open looks from three, than any player since he entered the league till he stopped playing. Right? Like, he can run an offense and guard five positions at an elite level, yep, basically. So he is a hell of a player, just not looking at that shooting flaw. Joe Harris, perimeter defender, and a knockdown shooter. Seth Curry, shoot the lights out.
Claxton's coming back.
Coming back. And then you have KD and Kyrie, who just with them, without even Harden.
I don't see how you leave it, Max.
I
don't see how you leave it on the table and not have an opportunity to win a title with the Brooklyn Nets, the decision that you and Kevin Durant made to come here and try to win a title.
Mess with it either. They're going to have to work it out. The biggest criticism of Dak Prescott we've heard in years. Coming up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.